terms of what we needed to discuss this week, I wanted us to look at the importance of goal achievement, but not just coming up with goals and working to achieve those specific ones, but more importantly, in terms of the realities of building our businesses. And I think this is an appropriate time because we have just returned from leadership school, and we really only have 4 solid months before its international convention in August. And I think it's important that we get some clarity on the entire process of setting our goals and understanding, most importantly, that goal setting is not a one-time event. And sometimes I fear when we have our trainings and we have a section that deals with goals, we think, okay, I've written my goals down, I've got my goal statement, and I'm done with it. And yes, I read it every day, but it's not really something that happens like that, and I don't think it's something that will give you long-term success if you look at it as an isolated event. Goal setting and goal achievement, I think, is similar to lifelong learning. It has to be an ongoing process. It's kind of like stair steps. You know, you take one step, but in order to get to the top, you have to take another, and each level is leading you to the next goal. And when you're looking at what your goals are, especially in some of the training we have where the focus is a lot on the dollar amount, you have to remember that true goal achievement can't really be about greed. It has to be about purpose and direction. I don't mean that you can't make money. Obviously, you need a lot of money sometimes to achieve some of the goals you want, but it has to follow in the, I think, appropriate cycle is the best way to look at it. You have to have purpose and direction, because if you aren't clear about your goals, you're not going to be able to maintain the consistency that's necessary to achieve success in this business. And more importantly, if you aren't clear about your goals, you're not going to be able to effectively decide what you're going to do with this particular business vehicle. So I really want you to, if you've already been involved with the business for a while, I kind of need you to step back for a second and look at your goals without considering this business vehicle, and then re-engage with the business vehicle, and I think that'll become clear in a little bit. And the first piece that's, I think, critically important for us is to get clearer on what you really want. Okay? At this point, I don't want you to think about why you want it. That's not as important as focusing on what you want. And sometimes, when I've looked at some of your goal statements, you put down things, but then when we talk, they're not necessarily things that are near and dear to your heart. They're just sort of things that sound like good goals, things that you think you would want or things that someone in front of the room said they would want. So I want you to take a minute and get pretty clear on what you really want. And one of the ways to do that is to focus on all the areas of your life. You can't do this and just look at, I want X amount of dollars to get a new car. I want X amount of dollars to get a new house, because that's just the stair-stepping piece. I want you to consider forming your own strategic life plan. Okay, we talked before about the business life cycle and the importance of having goals in various areas of our life. What I want you to do is, I do mine on a whiteboard. That's the way I remember it. I always did it. You can just use regular sheets of paper if you want, but you really need some space to work on. So if you're going to do it on sheets of paper, you know, have several sheets in front of you. And in your strategic life plan, put down what you want your life to look like. All right. For example, when I look at mine, one of my categories is professional. And under professional, I have a legal component and I have a non-legal component. But that doesn't end it. Under the legal component, I have legal wellness education seminars that I want to do for people. Then I have law office clients. And under the law office clients, I have clients that will pay. And then I have clients that I will do legal work for no fee or pro bono work. Under the non-legal side, I go to a business. So our business is called GTHS and Associates. And under that is Market America and the coaching I may do or the public speaking I may do. But then my third category is community involvement. Under that is the nonprofit. That's our nonprofit in which we take care of homeless families, abused women and children, and other people in need. But then also under that is my volunteer commitment in general to the community. And then my fourth category on my life plan is a personal category. I have to take care of spiritual growth. I have to do physical exercise. I have to do my reading because I love reading. I have to have some recreational time in there. Just because all of this is on my strategic life plan doesn't necessarily mean that I'm accomplishing it all, but it is a picture of what I want to do with my life. It's the way I see myself. And, you know, a classic example of having something on that list that isn't really what you're doing right now, for me, is the physical exercise piece. I had my grandson a couple of weekends ago, and we went to the Exchange, which is the store on base, and we were passing the sporting goods section and the sportswear, and I saw this really nice Nike outfit, really nice colors, great summer colors, and I stopped the cart, and I said, wow, this looks really nice, I might buy this. And Elijah said, well, what are you going to buy that for, my mom? And I said, these are exercise clothes, sweetie, and I will use these when I exercise. And that little boy is only 6 years old, and he looked at me and he said, but my mom, you don't exercise that much, okay? Well, he knew that, and I have that on my strategic life plan. I'm not there yet. Am I going to get there? Maybe if I buy these really cute clothes, I might. But it's what I want you to think about, though, is before you can engage this business, you have to first engage your life. And before you can engage your life, you have to see what your life looks like. What do you want your life to look like? And when you have your categories, and they don't have to mirror mine, I'm sure they won't. You know, mine are the professional, business, community. Personally, you may have some variations. But consider what you placed in each of those categories. That's what's most important. For me, I put the legal piece, and I put the legal wellness education, and I also put law office clients. But whatever you put in your categories, under each one, then you have to look at how many of those items require time from you and how many of those items require money. All right? If I'm going to do the legal wellness education seminars, that requires time. If I'm going to do the law office clients for no fee, then that requires some money. If I'm going to do Market America under the business umbrella, then that requires time, and it may require money for the traveling to the trainings that I need to go to. If I'm going to do the community piece, the nonprofit, if I'm going to take care of homeless families, that's going to require money, and it's going to require time. If I'm going to do volunteer commitments in the community, that's going to require time. If I'm going to exercise, that's going to require time. It doesn't necessarily require money for new outfits because I already have clothes that I could wear. If I'm going to do the personal spiritual growth, that's going to require time for me to study and to learn more. So for every item, you have to get really clear about what it's going to require. And then ask yourself, how likely is it that if you continue living as you are, that you're going to achieve the goals on your strategic plan? And the piece I really want you to understand about a strategic plan is that, by definition, it involves a strategy. You have to lay it out, because strategic planning is an art form. It doesn't just happen. When I was doing strategic planning in the military, I couldn't say, this is my objective and somehow I'm going to get there. I had to clearly detail each item that was going to be required. And that's what I'm asking you to do. How many of these items are going to require your time, and how many of them are going to require your money? All right? And when you ask yourself the question about how likely it is that you will achieve those goals if you continue as you currently are, then make yourself a line on the paper, kind of a continuum, and at one end is extremely unlikely, then somewhat unlikely, then may happen, and then will happen. And for each of those categories, put a check mark. You don't have to share this with anyone, so it's really important that you're completely honest with yourself, because, again, that's all that really matters. Extremely unlikely, somewhat unlikely, may happen or will happen in terms of achieving these goals if you continue behaving exactly as you are. Now, once you're clear on that, then I want you to consider all the options you have for achieving those goals. And first, that begins with a personal skill set and circumstance assessment. You have to know yourself. You have to know your skills, your talents, your abilities, and you have to be really clear about your particular circumstances before you can move forward. And by that I mean your family circumstances. Are you single, having to work the business by yourself? Are you married with children, having to work the business by yourself? Are you married without children, having to work the business by yourself? Are you married to an individual who wants to work the business with you? All of those things are going to impact your ability and your willingness to do the things necessary to achieve those goals, particularly as they relate to requiring time, because you have to take that time away from your family members, and money, which you also have to take away from your core family circle. So the first area you're going to look at under your personal skills and circumstance assessment is family circumstances. And then you're going to look at your financial situation. Are you overwhelmed with debt? Can you afford to do this business? Do you look like you can afford to do this business, but the reality is you can't? You know, as my friend Renee says, are you suffering from the facade of affluence, where people look at you and it appears that you have it all together and appears that you can own your business, yet you can't afford to order your product? What's your financial situation? Are you going to be able to afford to go to convention? Are you going to be able to afford to go to your regional? Can you afford to go to your next second look because you have to pay your $5? So those are your first two, family circumstances and your financial situation, and you have to be clear on those. Then it's your education level. Are you able to do the things this business requires? Fortunately, this isn't a business that requires college degrees or any such thing. However, you have to decide based on what your particular circumstances are as to all of the options that you have available to you for achieving the goals on your strategic plan. Because once you look at your personal skill set, your family circumstances, your financial situation, your educational component, then you look truly at the options. Traditional business option, unfranchise option, or maybe you have another option. Maybe you're expecting an inheritance or something like that that can help you get to achieving these strategic life plan goals. Because remember, that's where we are first. We've stepped aside from the business vehicle, and we're looking only at our strategic life plan, what we really, really want. And then we get to where we've got options. And options are really just choices. And the important thing and the piece I want you to get from this for the options is, yes, traditional business may be an option for you to get the goals on your strategic life plan. Yes, the unfranchise may be the option. Yes, an inheritance may be the option. But it's critical to understand that all options are not created equal. And all roads don't lead home or to the completion of the goals on your strategic plan. They just don't. Traditional business might work. My legal business might work. But it is very unlikely that I could put in the time required to make my law office generate the level of income I need to take care of homeless families and others in need the way that I want to. You see, so could it work? Could it be an option? Yes, but at what cost? Back to how many of the items on your list require your time and how many require your money, and where are you going to separate that? And your answer to the question concerning the likelihood and reality of your goal achievement efforts, it gets really clear when you look at your ongoing activities. If one of my goals on my strategic life plan is to continue my education, then you will know that because you will hear me talk about being in school and taking classes. And other people will know that as well because they will see that I'm in school. If one of my goals is community service, then other people will see me volunteering. If it's financial recovery, then I will change my spending habits and other people will notice that. They'll notice that because maybe I'm not taking other people out to dinner or I'm not going out myself as often as I used to. Those are the type of questions you have to ask yourself. Are your habits reflecting that you're working towards the things you put on your strategic life plan? And remember, you're not putting anything on this plan that isn't something that you really, really want. So when you think about choosing your option, traditional business, unfranchise, inheritance, especially the unfranchise, it's really about time and timing. Those are the two critical elements, and they're more important than the dollar resources. You have to first consider, is the time available? And for those of you who've participated on the call before, you know that we've done our time action budget where I ask you to really record in writing everything you do with your time every day for at least 5 days, and then look at that, and you will know what you're doing with your time and what time is truly available to build your business. Your sleeping time isn't. Perhaps you have to have a job. That time isn't. Then the second piece is, will you take the time? And that has to be, if you're going to work this business on the 2 to 3 year plan to achieve a six-figure income, it has to be 8 to 10 hours every week. That's a minimum. It can't be 8 hours this week and then 16 hours the next week. It doesn't work very well like that at all. So when you decide that you're really going to use this vehicle, let's say we've gone through the exercise, we've identified everything on the strategic life plan, we've done our personal skill set and circumstance assessment, we've considered the various options from traditional business to inheritance, and we've decided that we're going to work the unfranchise in order to achieve the strategic life plan. Then we've looked at the time that's available. We've decided that we're going to take some of that time. It really requires more than a decision. It requires the action component. Because if you're going to use this business vehicle, that requires, as I've said before, focusing on two primary areas: exposing your product and exposing the business itself. And that means several things. It means, one, that you have to be in front of people for whom this business is a viable option. Two, you have to be willing to listen to those people. Three, you have to be willing to talk about what you have to offer to those people. Four, you have to be willing to follow up with those people. And six, you have to be willing to repeat the cycle. Now, that might sound pretty simple. Oh, I can do that. I'm already doing that. But that's where it's important to look at that time action budget and really get clear on exactly what you are doing. Because many of you are involved in a lot of activity, yet you're not getting the results that you want. Let's take number one. If I say that you have to be in front of people for whom this business is a viable option, that can be very challenging for some of you. It's sometimes challenging for me. If I spend 5 hours out of my day working at the Center for Law and Policy, where the only people that I'm around are people in crisis and some people who are homeless and people who are living on the edge, I am, yes, in front of people. I am willing to listen to those people. I'm willing to talk to them about what I have to offer, and I'm even willing to follow up with them. However, I can't get to 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 because number one isn't working. I am not in front of people for whom this business is a viable option. And it's not a viable option for them currently because of their life circumstances. That could be your situation if you work at a place where you are the manager or supervisor and it's not allowed for you to talk to your subordinates. And in many cases, that isn't appropriate. So that means you could be there 8 hours a day, but you haven't passed the first hurdle. You're not in front of people for whom this business is a viable option that you are able to talk to, you see. So you have to address all of these areas. It's not enough to say I'm willing to listen to people. I have to be in front of the people who are going to have conversations that I can listen to and then be willing to share information on what I have to offer. So when you decide that you're going to focus on the exposure component, you have to have all of these parameters met. Now, if you're clear on the fact that these are some of the things we need to do, the next piece is to consider how long do you have to do this? And that really depends on how consistent you are. 8 to 10 hours once a month or every 3 months is seriously going to impact the likelihood of success with a 2 to 3 year plan. And that's going to take you back to our continuum or our number line equivalent, where you start with extremely unlikely, somewhat unlikely, may happen, will happen. If you only work this business 8 to 10 hours every 3 months, you are clearly going to be at the extremely unlikely side. And if you continue to do that for the entire 2 to 3 year period, you're still not going to achieve the level of success you want, because that's not the way the system works, and that's not the basic parameter for building a successful franchise. So when you think about your strategic plan, and I know it can be quite a bit, sometimes even overwhelming when you put all that on one page of what you see your life looking like, but you have to remember that the strategic plan generally has a long-term focus, like the 2 to 3 year plan. But the success of the long-term goals depends totally on short-term actions. You can't wait until the second year to engage the process, and you can't wait until 2.5 years to engage the process. Each time you decide to do that, you are in effect starting over. So you're continuing to recycle through the 2 to 3 year plan, constantly putting yourself back at the beginning. So you have to ask yourself, how long do you have to do this? How much time do you think you have to make this plan B work? And then ask yourself, how much time do you really have? Okay? And they are hardly ever the same. How much time I think I have and how much time I really have rarely come together. I used to have a real problem with this when Robert was here and I needed to go somewhere. I would always say, I only need 15 minutes to get this done or to get there. The reality is I needed 30 to 45 minutes, but I always underestimated that. And you have to consider that when you're looking at your skill set and particular circumstances, because what happens if there's an illness? What happens if there's a job loss? Many of you I know have been through layoffs and many more will be facing them. And you have life changes that are going to happen sooner or later. So get some clarity on how much time you think you have. If I think I have 2 to 3 years, therefore I'm going to wait until the second year, but how much time do I really have? And it will always track you back to your strategic life plan, you see, because if the education component is one of the goals there and I need to have funds in place in order to be able to send my grandchild to a certain school by the time he's 7, which gives me a year, then that is how much time I really have. Okay, and it's not necessarily that I have until he's 7. I have to then back to that strategic plan, education for Elijah. That means where is Elijah going to go to school? When is the cutoff for admissions? When is the cutoff for payment? And I have to back my way into that in order to answer this question. And I can't effectively work on building my business until I know what I'm doing and the time frames that I need to get this done in. And that's important for every item that you put on there once you choose this business vehicle as your option. And the time and timing issue, it really requires you to move from identifying what you want on the strategic plan to why you want it. You see, because now you have to move to the why, because the why is what's going to help you determine the priority and whether or not there's a sense of urgency for you. It's one thing for me to put on my strategic plan education for Elijah. It's another thing for me to say, why do I want this? Because I don't want him to enter this grade, not in this school. You see, and if I say that, then that means I have to do something now in order to achieve that element of my strategic life plan. If I'm only concerned with Elijah's college, well, then that's different because then I've got time. He's just in kindergarten. So I don't have to necessarily concern myself with that. Therefore, there's not going to be a sense of urgency or a high priority. Therefore, my why in that area isn't going to be really strong right now. So I'm not going to be particularly motivated to focus only on that. You have to come up with the goal elements from your strategic plan that are going to let you have the sense of urgency needed to take the short-term actions that you need now in order to achieve the long-term goals. If your goal is to eat or pay the bills, that's going to give you a different sense of urgency. If your goal is to provide a legacy for your family, that's maybe an even higher sense of urgency. If your goal, however, is to provide a legacy for the community, maybe scholarships at the Boys and Girls Club, then that might not be as urgent for you. It might be important, but it might not be as urgent. If your goal is to be debt-free, that might be urgent. But then again, if you know that you first have to spend a couple of years getting out of debt, you might get discouraged and therefore not able to maintain that as your highest priority, which is why it is so important for you to really be clear on what's on your strategic life plan. What really, really matters to you? What do you really, really want? And what are you going to change in terms of answering these questions? How much time are you going to give to this business? How much time do you really have to make this plan B work? If I'm going to be laid off in 90 days, that's very different than if my employer tells me they're going to have a buyout in 2 years. Now, some of these goals, they just sound good. Being debt-free sounds good to everyone. But how much does it bother you when bill collectors call you and you're late with the payment? That's going to be the piece that helps you decide whether or not it's going to be significant enough for you to do the things you need to do. Some goals are just socially acceptable. Everyone thinks it's good to do that. Everyone thinks it's great to be involved in the community. Some goals don't necessarily sound as socially acceptable. We just want to get lots of stuff. Do a lot of people want stuff? Sure they do. I'm not particularly against you buying a lot of stuff, but what I do know from experience is that generally stuff goals aren't going to keep you going through the challenging times. They just aren't, because you reach a place where you can have only so much stuff and it loses its meaning for you. But can you operate from a more for me mode and make it money with this business? Sure you can. But I think that you'll make much more with a service and plenty for all of us mode than you would the other way around. But when you get through this, and it can take some time, when you get through your initial strategic plan, and it will change. It's definitely something that's going to change as you grow in your life, because even though what I'm talking about here is relating the strategic plan to using this business vehicle, your strategic plan is just a necessary component for you laying out the life and the purpose and direction that you're here to achieve. But if you're going to focus on your strategic plan and those things that are priorities that you've determined, then you simply have to follow the system, which means you have to know the system, and you have to know the system tools. Remember when we talk about the Simon Says game, it's Simon says do it, and if you do it when Simon didn't say so, then you get penalized. It's just like that with this business, because the system is the system is the system, and the system says. If the system says do it and you don't do it, then you've decided and you've announced, if to no one but yourself, that I am not serious about using this particular vehicle to achieve my goals. It doesn't mean that you're not serious about your particular goals or your strategic life plan. It just means that you're not serious about using this particular system if you're not willing to use the components as laid out. Some things in this system are simply not optional. Using the Getting Started Action Guide is not optional. Just because you've been in the business for a while doesn't mean that you don't still use that guide. You use that guide until you've achieved the goals you set for yourself, because you're still getting started on achieving this particular goal. Reading your career manual regularly until you're comfortable with it is not optional. Attending new distributor training and your basic five is not optional. Attending your ECCT training, your executive coordinator certification training, is not optional. Attending leadership school or international convention is not optional. The fact that you've attended several leadership schools or you've attended several conventions and you haven't achieved your level of success does not mean that that's the reason to not attend them. That's all the more reason to attend them in order to get the information and the motivation and inspiration, or even the feeling of desperation that's needed for you to be able to actively embrace the system components and move forward. Now, even though I'm saying that there are many components in the system that are not optional, you don't have to use every tool. Just like if you're working on your education, you don't have to take every class. But there are core requirements. You can take a variety of electives, but if you don't take the core requirements, it doesn't matter how many electives you take, you're not going to get the degree. So I want you to think about the system components in a general manner, kind of like just going through the alphabet A to Z. You're going to begin with relationship building. You know, you hear that at the trainings, and you know that, I think, instinctually, that you have to build relationships with people. Most people do not respond well to a hard sale, and most people don't respond well to a hard sale, and we know that because we don't respond well to that. It's about building the relationships, which means that you have to have that lifestyle that we've talked about, and you have to take the time to engage in conversations then with other people, which means then you're going to listen to other people so that you can respond appropriately to those people. Now, recently there was an ATG that Dennis put out, and it was about how to talk with a potential prospect. And I'm going to share some of that with you for those of you who didn't hear it. And remember that I'm not wanting you to mimic Dennis's words. What I'm wanting you to do is to get the concept behind it and then make the words your own. You know, sort of like we talked about before in terms of responsive readings. You don't know everything that the other person is going to say, but when you hear the keywords, you know how to respond, and you know how to respond almost automatically, okay? So you're beginning with the relationships, you're engaging in the conversation, you're starting to listen to people differently. However, you're not quite sure how to go the rest of the way from A to Z, and that's the piece that Dennis shared, and I'm going to share some of that with you, where he says, you know, I appreciate you being interested in my business. The unfranchised business is a distribution business that brings market-driven products and services to end consumers. In its simplest terms, an unfranchised business earns through completing six different business steps. First, you have to decide whether or not you want your own business. While most people, three out of four, I think, own their own business, the people who are financially successful, not everybody is cut out to be a business owner. But if your decision is yes, you do want to own a business, and you choose the unfranchised, then you have to apply. You have to apply through an existing unfranchised owner who's in good standing with the company and get your own distributorship. Now, once you're in business, he goes on to say, you have to select several products and services that you want to represent and begin building or creating a customer base. Now, you see, that's not very challenging for us to say. We all know that. Yet, for some reason, when we're talking with people, we don't want to say that. But there's absolutely nothing wrong in that because that is the reality. That is the system. And if when we're talking to someone, we won't say something very similar to that, then we need to take a time out and figure out why. Is it a belief issue? Is it a credibility issue? Is it a lack of practice at speaking with other people about what we have and then decide to do something about that? Now, Dennis's message goes on to say, you know, when you have enough product and service sales to prove out your business model, just like in traditional distribution, then you are going to look to open multiple locations. Now, of course, when you open those, you have to teach, direct, and manage other people. But that process can lead to more success and additional distribution for your goods and services. But really, what I find most interesting and exciting, he says, is when you really get going, you can have much activity going on all across the country, generating outstanding ongoing profits. Because we utilize one-to-one marketing, and we use the internet to help build our customer relations and to build our customer base. And we all know that, we just aren't very comfortable saying it. And then he concludes with, you know, what I'd like to do is set up a time to review the charts and graphs on how this can potentially work for you. You know, I have Thursday or I have Monday available, which is better for you. Afternoon or evening, can I have your number and your email address to follow up? And oh, by the way, is there any reason why you wouldn't be able to make this time? Because I'm really busy and I want to make sure that we connect with one another. So I think I'll give you a copy of this most recent annual report. You can look that over before our meeting and that can fill in some of the blanks for you. Now, I know that that may not necessarily sound like the language of choice for you, but again, listen to it and just get the concept. What I want you to understand is that what Dennis is trying to tell us is walk through the system. Nothing that he shared with the person was Dennis speak. Everything he said was the system. It's simply a question of knowing what you have to offer and being able to share that in your own words. And the only way you know what you have to offer is to work through their Getting Started Action Guide and to be familiar with what's in your career manual so that you don't stumble when you're getting ready to speak with someone about what you have to offer. And the reason why you won't stumble is because you're going to make these decisions in advance. Remember, this is a strategic plan. That means it's a strategy. It's not happenstance. You're going to decide in advance. Before you start prospecting and recruiting people, the first phase, what tools am I going to use? Am I going to use the wake-up CD? Am I going to use the three-part DVD? Am I going to use the annual report? Am I going to use the Success From Home magazine? When I decide which one I'm going to use, then I have to be able to explain that. I'm going to use the wake-up CD. I'm going to tell someone, this gives you a really good frame of reference as to why you need a plan B. That's what the wake-up CD does. If I'm going to use the annual report, I'm going to say, this gives you some information about the numbers that are numbers of people that are working with our company and the amount of income that we're generating and supports the fact that we've had 54 consecutive quarters of growth. If I'm going to use the three-part DVD, I'm going to speak to the fact that one segment is going to talk about wellness, one segment is going to talk about the business presentation. I'm going to know what it is I'm giving to the person. And many times you aren't giving them to people because you haven't watched them yourself, you haven't read them yourself. And far too many people are just handing out the Success From Home magazine, a wonderful tool, but not a wonderful tool to just hand to someone. It has to be explained. Say to the person, I want you to take a look at this section. I think you and this person have something in common, and look at this section of the three-part of the DVD, and then I'm going to get back with you and answer any questions that you might have. You have to explain this material, but you have to decide in advance which ones you're going to use in this first phase, and you have to use them on yourself first, and then you'll be more comfortable when you're sharing them with other people. In the second phase, you're going to consider, I'm going to use the flip chart, I'm going to use Second Looks. I'm going to use the Getting Started Action Guide. And I really want to impress upon you the importance of using the Getting Started Action Guide with people before you bring them into business with you, because it sets up the expectations for you and the expectations for them and makes sure there's no misunderstanding concerning the requirements for having a real business with the unfranchised system. Are you going to use the Dr. Dutchess DVD? I am. It's the best thing I've ever seen in terms of presenting the health seminar. And for those of you who don't have that, you can go to her website, which is www.healthchallenges.com. And she even has a special when you order multiple sets. Are you going to use the group interviews? Are you going to do three-way phone calls with someone who has some areas of commonality with your potential prospect? What are you going to do? The third phase, I'm going to have ongoing regular meetings. Don't prospect someone, show them the flip chart, take them to a Second Look, give them a Getting Started Action Guide, bring them into this business, and then not want to go through the third phase. You have to have ongoing regular meetings with them. You have to take them to their new distributor training, to their basic five. But that's not enough. You have to work with them on an individual basis. They're your business associate. You have to have at least weekly contact with them, and I don't mean over the phone. You have to have corings and trainings with them. You have to have in-home kickoffs to help them introduce their business to their potential prospects. You have to have product shows with them so they can generate retail and build their customer base so that they are making money with this business, not losing money. You have to have the health seminars with them if that's an area of interest. If they're wanting to be more specialized, maybe in the transitions area or the websites or motives, then you have to find those opportunities for training in your area and make sure that you walk them through that part of the process. So, you see, none of this is just going to happen. You can't get to the decision to do these phases that I've talked about unless you're first clear that building your business is a critical part of your strategic life plan in terms of it being the option. It's not your life plan. It is the option you've chosen to achieve the goals that are central to your strategic life plan. You see, my community involvement is on my strategic life plan. Building my business is the option I've chosen in order to generate the income that I need to fulfill that goal the way I want to fulfill it. And so I've got to make decisions, and I have to make decisions before I really venture into building my business, at least if I expect to move myself along the continuum from the extremely unlikely event of success to the will happen. Because, see, the planning is about preparation. And when you do these things in advance, then you are saying to yourself that I am taking control of this aspect of building my business in advance. I'm going to know that I've got wake-up CDs, I've got three-part DVDs, I've got annual reports, and I've got success from homes because that's what I choose to use. But you have to know what you would use, and that means that you have to have the material. Remember, this is about timing. What do I do if I meet someone who's considering a plan B because they're getting ready to get laid off, and I don't even know what the wake-up CD is, let alone have any in my possession, let alone have any with me? So it's really important, once you're clear on what you want to do, to decide in advance. Go through the phases. First phase, what am I going to use? Wake-up CD, three-part DVD, initial introduction. Second phase, flip chart, Second Look, moving forward to the more detail. Third phase, ongoing regular meetings, working with the individual that I've brought into business with me. And I think one of the easiest ways I came up with when I was thinking about this topic is if you're going to fully embrace this option, and really any other aspect of your strategic plan, then it's three essentials. And that is to acknowledge, to accept, and to adjust. Acknowledge means, according to the dictionaries I looked at, it means to admit the reality or truth of something, often reluctantly. And it means to show by word or act that one has knowledge of and accepts responsibility. It applies to personal assessment of where we are. You know, in terms of our commitment of time, money, and energy to build our business, we have to acknowledge the reality of where we are. The second thing we have to do is accept that. And accept means to agree to take on a duty or responsibility. It means to make use of or accept for some purpose, such as take a risk or take an opportunity. The what I really like was to indicate by words or actions one's agreement and willingness to enter into a contract. Because working your strategic life plan and choosing this vehicle is really just a contract with you. It's not a contract with me or anyone at the company. And really, this part is really all about you. Because we are all here by choice. You know, we're on this phone tonight by choice. We're in this business by choice. And that means that we're responsible for our actions. And more importantly, we're responsible for our inactions in terms of building our business. And the third one is to adjust. Adjust means to change so as to make a match or a fit, to achieve a psychological balance with regard to one's external environment, one's needs, and the demands of others. For us, it is in alignment with the reality of our wants, whys, our commitment, and our actions. Because once we acknowledge where we are and accept that this is our choice and we're going to move forward with that choice, we have to adjust where appropriate in order to achieve those goals that are on our strategic life plan. Maybe I have to realign my priorities in terms of how much time I'm going to spend reading versus how much time I'm going to spend making contacts through the names I've added to my names list. Maybe I have to realign how much time I'm going to spend doing volunteer work at the community center until I get my business to a certain level. It's all about adjusting to fit, but it's only about adjusting to fit in accordance with those things that you've determined are critically important for you, which takes you right back to your strategic life plan, because the only thing you're putting down there are things that you really, really want. And nothing should be on that list if it then doesn't transfer into something that you have a strong enough why in order to move it to the level of urgency that it needs to be for you to embrace this business. And when you think about it, in other areas of our lives, other people hold us responsible and accountable all the time, whether it's your family, your employer, all sorts of areas. With this business, though, it's all about individual responsibility and accountability, and that's the hard part. Because having a strategic plan and being clear about your goals, it does several things. It takes away what I call the yes, but syndrome. Yes, I would keep this job, but my boss is no good. Yes, I would keep this job, but my boss makes me work too hard, or the pay is too low. And it replaces it with yes, but therefore. Yes, I would talk with people, but I can't talk with people at my job. Therefore, I will join the Chamber of Commerce and go to their networking events. Yes, I would sell products, but I can't afford to buy them. Therefore, I will take orders from the mall talk and the brochures. You see, none of this is easy, which is why it's optional. Most of what you've achieved in your life hasn't been easy, but for some reason you decided to persevere. And when I used to struggle with these things, you know, Robert had some very simple responses. It's not necessarily easy, it's not necessarily pretty, but it is what it is. You know, this business isn't simple. It's simple, rather, but it's not easy. The purple powder works, and you can make a lot of money with this business if you follow the system. But before you can do any of that, you have to stay clear on, one, do you know what you really want? Two, how much time do you have to get what you really want? Three, do you choose this vehicle to help you get what you really want? And if yes to three, then will you learn and follow the system to get to what you really want? If no, then go back to the personal assessment. Consider the other options and just realign your strategic plan and your goals accordingly, because they're all yours. And you really do get to choose, because this part is all about you. And I think if you take the time, and it will take you a little bit of time, to really lay out how you want your life to be, what you want it to look like, make your puzzle. When I do my estate planning, I ask people to put together the puzzle of their life, in terms of where they want their assets to go, how they want their children and family and community to be cared for when they're gone. Do the same thing, but do it for how you want your life to look while you're here. And once you're clear on that, then I think it will be easier for you to move to the area of choosing elements from that for which this business vehicle is a good option. Okay? And when you do that, then you can begin to set your goals in place for the daily activity levels that are necessary to achieve those. But that won't be as difficult as you think, because once you're clear on what you're willing to do, then you can always fill in those spots. It will be very simple. If you tell me you can give me 10 to 15 hours a week, there will be no problem in putting in the amount of activity that's necessary. The challenge, though, is coming to what you're really going to give. Not saying 8 hours and giving four, not saying 15 and giving eight. You have to be clear on that, and I don't think you can get clear on that until you really understand how you envision your life plan and working out, okay? I think I'm going to pretty quickly here run out of time. So I want to do a couple of things. I want to tell you that the business wellness self-assessment we did some months ago, that was the questionnaire where you answered about 28 questions on where you are with your business. I think that can help you in terms of doing the strategic life plan, even though it only speaks to the business component. And I really thought that I'd uploaded that on the group website, but I saw today that I hadn't. I will do that, and I will do that. I'm going to do it tomorrow. So you'll be able to go there this weekend, and you can download that wellness self-assessment, and you can look at that. And I think that will help you get some clarity in terms of where you are with your business growth, in terms of how many components on your life plan are going to relate.